Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Welcome back to Keep It Simple podcast, and today I'm flying solo. This is Gavin Durson, and I'm here by myself, and Tom's not with me. So I'm glad you joined us, and if you're here today, that means you've probably been following along. And today, I'm going to talk about something very important, and as we go through big picture kind of things, there's going to be along the way, we want to give some special focused attention to some of the things we've been talking about in the main podcast episodes. And we're going to be talking today about making disciples. This is really, for me, the essence of simple church ministry. And to me, it's not really about starting churches. In fact, the scriptures don't tell us to start churches. They say that Jesus will do that, but we are commanded to go and make disciples. A simple church is a group of people with Jesus at their head who are committed to these things, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And I would even argue that really the Great Commission and the Great Commitment, are kind of the same thing. In other words, it would be hard to love God and love others and refuse to make disciples. And so this idea of making disciples is a very, very, very foundational idea of really what simple church is all about from my perspective. Certainly, I don't think that we can separate discipleship from the simple church gatherings, but my experience has been that a lot of folks, when they talk about simple church, they immediately want to talk about a weekly simple church or house church meeting. And while that is an important piece of the puzzle, I think, of what it means to be a part of disciple making, I think that's a big part of it. I oftentimes think that if that's all that we think about, we're just going to get together and meet in someone's house or at this park, and somehow we're going to be involved magically with making disciples. You know what? I think that will happen to a degree, but if it's the Great Commission, then I think it's also something that just individually and personally, that if it's truly great, we want to think through that a little bit and really ask some difficult questions of, what does it mean for me personally to be a part of making disciples? What does it mean for my family to be a part of making disciples? And certainly I believe that if you ask those questions, simple church will likely be a part of that answer, but it may not be the whole part of that answer, the whole answer. And so what do we mean? When we say that we want to be about making disciples, what does that even mean? What does that even look like? You know, as I've wrestled with those questions, the thing that I keep coming back to, you know, there's lots of ideas about discipleship. I'm sure churches, you may have been a part of them, that have programs called discipleship programs, and you sign up and you go through a course and you redo the book, and at the end you are a disciple, or you're, you know, you've kind of been a part of that discipleship process. And there's lots of ideas about it. But the thing that I always come back to, and the thing that as I've been doing simple church with my family for the last 6 years, the thing that comes to my mind is that really we already have discipleship modeled. It's modeled in everything that Christ did. And oftentimes we believe the things that Christ taught theologically, but we don't really model his practices for making disciples. And so when we talk about answering that question of what is a disciple, how do we make them, I believe the answer is found in Christ, as with most things. But really look at his life. How do we make disciples? What does that really mean? And I'll be honest with you, I have some hangups even with the word at times. The scripture clearly calls us to go and make disciples. But, you know, I often find it more helpful to think as I pursue that endeavor and that great commission, I oftentimes think that it's often more helpful to think of my role in making disciples as being much more akin to sitting around Jesus's feet as one of the 12 than me being Jesus. In fact, I think that when we try to be Jesus for other people, we oftentimes can make disciples of us rather than of Christ. And so what I want to challenge you all today with is a simple framework that's been very helpful to me In fact, when I first was introduced to this idea, it seemed so simple and silly that the gentleman who was proposing to me is like, well, I'm not going to do that just because you said to do that. But as I've gotten to really think about this question, what is a disciple and how do we make them? I keep coming back to a framework for discipleship. It's not a methodology. It's not a workbook. It's not a program. But it's just, I think the best way I would describe it is a framework that has been presented by Neil Cole called the Life Transformation Group.
This is how Life Transformation Groups work. It's a group of two or three that meet together once a week for accountability. Guys meet with guys, women with women. There is no curriculum needed for the group. There's no leader needed in the group. It's just two or three people meeting together for accountability. We do three things. We confess. We read the scripture, we confess sins, and we pray for souls. That's simple.
And so when I think through, what is it going to look like for me personally to be a part of making disciples in the way that Jesus made disciples, the Life Transformation Group idea or framework, if you will, has been extremely helpful to me. And you all have probably, there's nothing in the idea of a Life Transformation Group that might be new to you. It's not, there's nothing fancy or, you know, about it. It's simple. It's reproducible. And that's why I like it. But I found it to just be very, very, very helpful that one of the most important things we're trying to do is not just feed people God's word or feed people, if you will, but we're trying to teach people how to feed themselves and, you know, not giving people a fish, but teaching them how to fish. And a Life Transformation Group that Neil Cole suggests is a really a great way of thinking about that. And there's been other people that have proposed and suggested, and you've probably even done things very much similar to the idea of a Life Transformation Group. But I want to just briefly go over it. But here's the basic idea, all right? The basic idea, if you decide today that, you know what, I really do think the Great Commission's great, and I really do want to go out there and be a part of disciple making. And I also want to do it like Jesus did, and I also don't want to be mistaken for trying to be Jesus, but I really want to have relationships with people that look a lot like the relationships of the disciples as they sit at the feet of Jesus, and I want to translate that into our modern culture. What does that look like? And I think the thing that's great about the Life Transformation Group is it sort of whittles down, I mean, I think some of the more basic components. Like, if I'm going to have a friend, and me and my friend are going to try to follow Jesus together, and we're going to try to be a part of discipleship, we're going to be a part of disciple making, and we're going to let Jesus be the one that makes the disciples. And it's a little bit more tricky than when we just read the Bibles, because the Holy Spirit is in me and the Holy Spirit is in him. And so there's this discipling one another that happens. That's really the Holy Spirit teaching each of us as we go together. What is that going to look like? And the Life Transformation Group sort of lays out three basic things. And I think that I've kind of come to the conclusion, you know what, like, it's going to be hard to grow in my faith as a disciple of Jesus if these three things are not sort of, if I'm not committed to these things. And they're things that I think we see in the New Testament. We see them in Christ. We see them in the followers of Christ. And so what are they? Number one, it's a commitment to God's word. And at the most basic level, I think, you know, we can be legalistic and we can try to tell people, you got to read your Bible every day and you need to do this or that. And we can certainly become legalistic about that. But I think at the most basic level, when we think about Christian growth with Christ, in Christ, that it's somewhere in that picture, no matter how you want to define it, putting more of God's word into your mind and in your heart has got to be a part of that. I mean, it just simply does, because we believe that God's word is his inspired truth, and we believe it's sort of the guide rails, if you will, for what God might be speaking to us. And so not just a verse here and there, but really putting it into our heart on a regular basis, putting it into our mind so that we're learning it, we're listening to God, and we're learning to sense that, you know what? God himself, his Holy Spirit, can lead me into all understanding. And he might use my friend. He might use, as I'm reading, bring other things into my life, teachings, videos, talks, whatever, maybe podcasts, to help me understand it. But it's going to begin with me purely looking at God's word and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach it to me.
And when you are filled with the Word of God and the Word of God is consuming you, then people will notice a difference. People will see the difference. People will want the difference.
And so the first thing about life transformation group is the idea that you find a friend. They can be a believer or a soon-to-be believer or someone you're not even sure. They say they're a believer, but maybe they don't even really know. But you're going to commit to putting God's Word in your heart and putting a lot of it in your heart. Now, what is that? I think Neil talks about like 30 chapters a week or something. Yeah, you know, you could become, again, the object's not to be legalistic about these things, but putting a lot of God's Word in your heart each week alongside of a friend is an important thing, I believe. And for me, it's, you know, I like that idea because if it's one chapter or we're going to read, I can read that 5 minutes before I go meet with my friend and I can sort of pull off a conversation about it. I can deceive myself. But if I'm going to read 20 chapters this week or 30 chapters this week, I'm going to have to sort of discipline myself and prioritize that in my life so that, you know what, I'm going to read this thing pretty, you know, maybe every day, or certainly I'm going to have to read it several times this week. And that's an important thing, because to do that means that, man, I'm incorporating, putting God's Word into my heart and mind on a regular basis. And so you might read five chapters five times or four times, whatever. You guys can decide it. But the idea is this: together, we're going to read God's Word, and we're going to invite God to speak to us. And as a personal thing, I think I try to encourage people, hey, don't spend a ton of time focusing on everything you don't understand in those five chapters that you read, or those 30 chapters that you read, if you read 30 different chapters. But really focus on asking God this question: what are you trying to say to me? What does this show me, God, about you? What does this show me about people? And what are you showing me that I might need to share with someone else? You know, those are some simple inductive Bible study type questions that we like to train folks to use as they're reading and jot those things down. You know, again, what is this saying? Can I summarize it? Can I summarize it? What is it saying to me about God? Who is, what his nature's like? What kind of God is he? What are your characteristics? What does this say about humans and people and our tendencies? And, you know, fourthly, what does this say to me personally? And that's a big one. If God, you're reading the Bible, you think God's saying something, you want to jot that down, and that's something you want to talk about with the guy or the guys or the girls, if you're a girl, that you're doing a life transformation group with. And then is there anything that it's saying to me that I think maybe God wants me to pass on to someone else? Those are just simple. There's a lot of variations in those, but those would be simple, four or five simple questions you could use to, as you read the Bible, to really start to ask the Lord to teach it to you. And see what happens. So you read the Bible, you show up once a week for coffee at your time, you say, okay, well, what did God show you in these chapters this week? And man, you got a lot of things already, because as you've read, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you things. Well, I thought about this, or it reminded me of this, or I realized God's this way. It was a good reminder, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's a big, big, big part of the Life Transformation Group. It's simple. It's Bible reading. You don't have to go buy a special workbook. You just have a Bible. You can pull it up on your phone. You read the Bible. You read the passages with your friend, and then you commit to it, and you get together, and you read it. And Neil even talks about if you don't get all the way through it, or somebody slacks, then maybe you reread those five chapters again the next week, not to punish people, but maybe that's God's way of saying, hey, we want to read it more. And you know what? Again, that may be for you. I don't always do it that way. That might be helpful to kind of have that challenge if it's a bunch of guys, and maybe it's not. Every situation's unique. But the big idea, number one, Life Transformation Group, is that you're going to read God's Word together. You're going to ask questions as you read. You're going to allow the Holy Spirit to teach it to you, and you're going to come and sit down with a friend regularly to discuss and share the things that you that God showed you from his Word. And you're going to listen to your friend and the things that God showed him. And chances are you're going to learn from him, and he's going to learn from you. And it's going to be a really good thing. The second thing about a life transformation group is you commit to holding each other accountable. And there's lists of accountability questions out there. But again, the big picture is just this, is that you're going to have a friend in your life that really knows you and knows who you are. And you're going to be honest with him about your struggles. And honestly, in a simple church, that you can still hide. If there's 10 people in your simple church and your wife's in there, especially, and your kids, you can still pretend in a group that size. It may be harder, and there might be some things that people will just pick up by virtue of you having close connection with them in that sort of setting that will provide more accountability than, say, maybe a traditional church might provide if you can slip in and slip out. But the bottom line is you can still maintain a level of anonymity, if you will, about your struggles, even in simple church. And so do you have one person in your life that you're being intentional about being real and honest with? Well, I hope so. Hopefully you have more than one. And it's simple. And when we think about discipleship, we think about those 12 guys walking with Jesus, and we think about the honesty that they shared and the fact that they were with Christ and they were open about their doubts and their struggles. And we need to have someone in our life like that. And that's what the idea of a life transformation group is. You're reading the word, you're being honest and holding each other accountable. Maybe you go through a list of accountability questions, but maybe you just have certain ideas and you're just upfront and you say, hey, my experience has been the more you get to know someone, the less important the questions are to kind of actually get out every week and read. But that might be helpful to start out with. And Neil, talks about some of those questions that might be good. So that's the second part. And lastly, the Life Transformation Group encourages prayer, and specifically prayer for lost people, people that, or maybe you don't know if they're lost, but they're not walking with the Lord. And so the idea is this, that, hey, there's two of us sitting across the table here having coffee every week, but I'm pretty sure we're not doing this just for us. There's someone else that God probably desires for us to be a part of reaching out to and extending his love and grace to. And who are those people? And so each of you would share two or three or four folks that you think the Lord might be impressing upon your heart to begin just praying for. What happens after that? I'm not real sure. That's the exciting part. Maybe as you begin praying for each other's folks and the people that God's put in your heart, maybe you're led to reach out to them and take them to lunch. Or maybe, perhaps you would even be eventually, they might end up sitting at that table with you all. And now your group of two is a group of three as God's burdened your heart for these folks and you've reached out to them in love and you've maybe invited them to be a part of this life transformation group and they start reading the Bible, and that would be a wonderful thing. And who knows where the Lord might lead it. But the idea is this, that you're committed to each other, but you're also committed to praying for those in each other's lives, that there is a sense in which part of the reason they're on this planet is to have an influence and to share their faith with someone else. And who are those people? You know that person's names of the people they're praying for. They know the people you're praying for, and together you're praying for each other's friends to ask God to do an awesome thing in their life.
Why are they groups of two or three? Have you heard of any verses in the Bible that mention two or three? It's interesting. It's all over the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's where you find community, accountability, confidentiality, flexibility, and reproducibility. It's throughout. There's even more that I didn't put on there. And it's interesting. It never says two or more, three or less. It says two or three. It's like he wants to give you choices, but just, not a whole lot. It's two or it's three, but no more, no less. But for some reason, that number is throughout the Bible, but not in our churches. We need to have groupings of two or three, because that's where life change happens. And that's why a life transformation group is a group of two or three. The reason why we read the scriptures is we're inhaling. The reason why we confess our sins is we're exhaling. And the reason why we're praying for the souls of lost people is we want to be able to do the good.
And that's simply it. That's a life transformation group. They've been called C3 groups and triads, and people come up with all these clever names, and I don't care what you call it. Call it whatever you want. But I love the simplicity of that as a framework for thinking about personal involvement in the Great Commission. You're committing to a friend to be a part of discipleship, a disciple-making relationship with them. And the goal would be, just like in a simple church, that group would multiply. And so if three joins the group, you keep meeting, but then when the fourth person gets there, then you become two groups of two again, and on down the line it goes. That group then becomes a group of three, and then it becomes a group of four, and then it becomes a group of two. And so you can see a chain where, maybe that happens every few months, maybe that happens once a year. I don't know. God knows. There's no rules hard and fast about that. But that the whole point of it would be is that at some point in the future, you're not sitting there with that same person, but now they are mentoring or being a part of a discipleship friendship with someone else that God's used them to reach out, and you are as well. And you've begun this multiplication at a very basic one-on-one level that ripples throughout and for years to come. And you are essentially equipping and modeling and training people what it looks like to have a friend that sits at the feet of Jesus, learns from him. You teach people how to read God's word and how to understand it, how to be honest and real and to pray and to hold each other accountable to not just not doing bad stuff, but obeying the things that they're reading about and that God's burdening their heart for as they read the scripture, so that you are doing the Great Commission, which is, you know, you're making disciples and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but you're teaching people to obey all of the things that Jesus commanded. And that's a big part of this. So your friend's burden as they read about reaching the lost and they have a friend or a family member they feel that God wants them to share their gospel with, well, you pray for them that they'll do that and maybe even go with them, and you begin helping each other to not just hear God's word, but to do what it says. And that's the essence of a life transformation group. And that's, for me, I think, a wonderful, simple, reproducible, you don't have to buy a workbook again. You just start today. If you've got a Bible or a phone with a Bible app on it, you can begin doing that and some variation of that. And again, that's a beautiful way to even start simple churches, because you can imagine if your group of four, your group of two becomes a group of four, and then you split up and now you have two guys meeting with each other. Well, you know what? You all probably have wives. If it's guys, if it's girls, they probably have husbands and maybe children. And it would be very natural to say, you know what? We ought to all four get together. Why don't we get together on Sunday morning or Saturday night, or and we can share, we can keep sharing the things that we're learning, since we're not meeting here for coffee every week. We can get all of our families together, and we can get our families involved, and they can hear about the things that we're learning through this life transformation group. And maybe even our spouses would, they might even want to do something very similar, and maybe they would like to start a life transformation group. But the big, but you can, so you can see how that would even be a wonderful way of starting a simple church. Not that you would have to do it that way, but again, here's a thought I want to leave you with. If when you ask that question, how are you going to make disciples? Like, how do you do that? And you don't have an answer. It's worth coming up with an answer. Okay. This is kind of where I've landed for this season of my life, and I'm modifying it and tweaking it to fit my personality and my interest and style or whatnot. But if you're not able to have a disciple making friendship with one other person, why would we think that if 10 people showed up at our house on a Sunday for a simple church meeting, why would we think we would be able to help all 10 of those people have discipleship friendships? And I don't think that's just that there's something about that doesn't make sense to me. And so, you know, again, discipleship is more than just a one-on-one, let's talk about the Bible, having coffee. It's much more dynamic than that. And certainly in a simple church, you know, you all end up, just like in a life transformation group, sharing your gifts and discipling one another. But if someone shows up at your simple church, and this has happened to a lot of folks, after a while, you've got some great things to talk about, and after a while, you sort of run out of things to say, and you wonder, well, what are we going to talk about? How are we going to... If you don't know how to help people that may show up who are new to the faith, begin reading the Bible, listening to God, and begin making disciples for themselves, and you're not doing that and modeling that and seeing that it really is easy, it's not this brain surgery and anybody can be a part of discipling, and you're not confident in that, then you're not going to be able to help other people who come and wonder, how do I grow in my faith? How do I become a disciple? I mean, you can surely say, just keep coming to these meetings at our house, and that would be good, and that would be fine. But even as we discussed, that might still mean they're not being honest about their struggles. That might mean that they're really not reading the Bible. They're just showing up, and they could read a passage before they come and talk about it. But are they really beginning to put God's word into their heart and mind? Are they growing in that? Are they learning that God can teach them through his word themselves, and not just as they hear other people who have read the Bible that week talk about God's word and learning from what their experience of reading the Bible? That's what a life transformation group sort of emphasizes, is that this personal responsibility and accountability that we have are really an opportunity to listen to God and sit at his feet still and listen to the master and learn from him and help others see that, you know what, don't be a disciple of Gavin, don't be a disciple of Tom, be a disciple of Jesus. And look, you can just pull up a chair and sit at the table with him. He is the leader of the life transformation group, just like he is the leader of a simple church. And when you help people experience that on a very personal level, then that really lays the foundation for people experiencing that at a simple church group level. And so how are you going to make disciples? I encourage you to think through that, give it a try. And there's some great materials on our website. Like I said, simplechurchalliance.com. You can search on there, LTG or Life Transformation Group. We'll put the link up at Keep It Simple Podcast as well. There's a great packet that Neil has made available. It's like 6 pages. And again, you might not follow it to the T the way he describes it, but I found that to be a helpful thing, as I found people to just go up and approach them and say, hey, you know, I found in my life that for me to grow as a disciple, the number one thing that I always want to have is a friend in my life that I'm reading the Bible with, that I'm praying with, and that I'm meeting with, to have an intentional friendship with, that Jesus is at the center of it. And as I've prayed about people that I'd like to do that with, your name has been at the top of the list. And I'd like to give you, you know, this packet of information. It kind of talks about kind of some ideas, what I'm thinking of. Think about it. Let's get together. And if you're interested, let me know. We can give it a try. We can try it for a month or two. And if it's helpful, great. If it's not, we can go our own way. You can just be very casual with it about that. And inviting people, and you may have to invite 10 people before you get a taker. But I really think that that's an incredible way to think about beginning the process of making disciples, is invite them to be a part of something like a life transformation group. And if that framework's helpful, I say give it a try. And one thing Neil talks about, and I'll close with this, and I've found this to be true in my own experience as well, the number one thing about this is that you both have an equal commitment to it. And, you know, it's an awesome thing if both people really take the reading serious and really think through, like, what is God teaching me? And you show up and you guys are, if one person's reading 30 chapters and the other person read one or didn't read any, then it really does not work that well. That might not be the best season of life for that person. But as you think about, again, people whom have some sort of level of faith, again, if they're not a Christian, you might have a little bit different of approach with the Bible reading. You might not start out reading, you know, that amount of scriptures or whatnot, but if they are a Christian and they're interested in their faith, then man, this is just saying, let's raise the bar. And in Simple Church, we sort of have a thing where we say we don't want to just lower the bar for what it means to have a church, but we also want to raise the bar for what it means to be a disciple. And that's what a life transformation group, if taken seriously, can really help you to do. And it's easy, it's fun. You get to really know your friend, know really what's going on in their life, what they think about God. You develop a really close friendship. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that, you know, my biggest burden is that, man, helping everybody that's involved in Simple Church do that. And, you know, if you're doing that and the majority of people in your Simple Church are doing that, my experience has been, you know, as it relates to the Simple Church meeting, you can really just show up and say, hey, what's God been teaching you all this week? And if the majority of people are involved in that Simple Church are doing a life transformation group with someone either in the group or outside of the group, they'll have plenty of wonderful things to talk about, to teach one another, to teach each other, to testimonies of God, of obedience that God has birthed out of that simple, that life transformation group to share. You really don't have to worry about creating some big agenda for a simple church meeting. It will be very natural and sincere and real, and it'll just become an outflow. People will begin to do the one another's out of an outflow of what God has done in their life all week long, as they've been in his word, they've been praying for their friends, they've been being real with another brother. There's so many wonderful things that can happen. So check it out. And if you have any questions, let us know. And if you start a life transformation group, let us know that as well. We'd love to be praying for you. And if you have any other things we can do to help you, man, by all means, shoot us a line, keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can always reach me at simplechurchalliance.com, on Twitter at KYSimpleChurch, Facebook, Gavin Durson, and then we also have Simple Church Alliance on Facebook, all those crazy social media ways. Anything we can do to be there to help you, we'd love to do it. Hopefully this has been encouraging to you. And so long, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.